Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hello, and thank you for tuning into today's episode of the Agency Toolkit. I'm your host, Julia McLaughlin. I'm here today with my guest, Josh Romo of Fiero Social Media and Marketing, and today we are discussing making the switch from service to valued community resource. Josh is a husband and father of three, and he is wanting to grow local businesses through a system he has built, which we will be talking about today. Josh has built a system he believes is set to change the marketing industry for service businesses, and I'm very excited to learn more about this process that he has created. So thank you so much for joining us today, Josh.
Well, thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So let's dive into a couple of questions so that we can get to know you a little bit. So tell us, where are you tuning in from today?
I live out in El Mirage, Arizona. Live on the outskirts of Phoenix, but definitely still a close drive to anywhere local.
Okay, very nice. I've been to Arizona once to visit the Grand Canyon, and it was amazing.
Oh, yeah. The weather's great all the time.
Yeah, that's awesome. And what would you say motivates or inspires you?
My family, teaching my daughters and my son how to be self-sufficient and being able to grow a business no matter who you are. They're my main driving force is my family. I'm human, so I've let a lot of people down a lot of times, but I'm trying my best to make sure that, you know, every time that I do fall down and, you know, fail at something, I'm getting right back up and trying to fix things and make them better than they ever were before.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Yes, that's definitely creating a great example for them. So could you give us a little background on yourself and tell us how you got into the digital marketing space?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess the best way is to start at the beginning. I started working when I was 16 and went from being a server in a retirement home to ended up taking a side job selling newspapers over the phone. And while that was great and everything, it really didn't give me the freedom that I wanted. And I never found that for years because I even went and became a mechanic when I was 19 and went and got my automotive degree. And couldn't find a job because it was 2009 and the market had just crashed, so nobody was hiring.
Right.
And so I opened up Demon's Auto and just kind of let it sit for a few years. I registered the name, did everything I had to do on my side of the legal things, and then just let it sit and went back to working sales. I sold cars, I sold alarm systems. I did roofing during the summers in Arizona, which is nice and warm. Did all of the A to B things that you could think of just to make sure that, you know, my my partner and my children were taken care of while, you know, they were still smaller. And finally, I ended up finding a job in mechanics and I started working for Midas. But I had to start at the bottom because I left it 8 years before and I had forgotten a lot of stuff. So right. I worked under a great mechanic and he retaught me everything that I needed to know. And this is, 4 or 5 years ago. Finally, I ended up leaving Midas, went to another local shop, and noticed that their marketing methods were so outdated for having 7 shops. And I get it. I understood that they had clients that came back sometimes, but it wasn't a consistent flow. I could kind of gauge my days based on, it's Monday. It's not going to be many people until the end of the day. Or it's, Thursday, people are going to start leaving their cars to be dropped off and be done by Monday. And it became really, really kind of boring in a way. So yeah. I talked to the owners and I let them know, hey, because at the time I was also to make some side money because being a mechanic at those shops, even though I had a base salary, it wasn't what I needed. I needed more.
Right.
I had started hosting karaoke and I got such a rush from not just being at the shows, but by building rapport with the customers that would come in. I hosted an Applebee's that was out in the south part of Arizona. And we ended up having, you know, 40 singers a night. The Applebee's was completely booked out. If you didn't get there by 8:30, you didn't have a seat until at least 10:30 or 11 o'clock.
Amazing.
The show was great. And it only started with four people. And it was just me marketing myself and marketing the show that I was putting together and trying to get people to enjoy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, people that you'd never expect to sing were singing. People were having a great time. Everybody was, you know, everybody was happy. And the show went until 1 o'clock, 1:30 at latest.
Okay.
So I talked to the owner of the shop, and I told him, listen, you know, I've built this audience with karaoke. I go, what I can do is I can try to get more people in here if you let me manage your marketing, and we get away from the paper ads that, I mean, let's be honest, most people throw them away anyway.
Yeah, and they're so expensive.
I mean, exactly, they cost a lot of money, and to be honest, the moment that I get them, they go right in the recycle.
Yeah.
Just because it's like, I don't need to look at that. You guys are constantly telling me about your ads on the radio or on the internet. I can just pull something up at the last minute and be like, here, you know, do this for me. And that's kind of where it started. I started marketing, or I started trying to get him to do that. He didn't want to do it. So eventually, I did end up leaving that job and started up my own mobile mechanic business.
Okay.
I spent a lot of money and a lot of time trying to get something that worked, trying to make ads that worked, that pulled people's attention, that kept me booked. I was chasing down customers in Facebook groups and forums, trying to be like, hey, I saw that your alternator went out, or you think your battery's dead. Let me help you. And it was a very pick me kind of persona, because then after me, there'd be, you know, 10 other mechanics like, oh, I can do it for you for $40. I can do it for this. I can do it for this. And just undercutting each other,
yeah,
which is where we fail as a business. When you let your value drop by doing something like that, it's really hard to get it back up. So I finally found the perfect ad set that I put together, the perfect amount of photos, the perfect amount of information that customers were constantly messaging me and trying to book in and book in and book in. Within a week, I was booked out 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I had prepayments on some of the diagnoses because customers wanted to make sure that their car was taken care of.
Yeah.
And that's when it all kind of clicked. And I was like, this is something that I've just done that nobody else is doing, because other mobile mechanics were, you know, they do the same thing, flyers or put their sign up on billboards. And I get it. You get some clients from that. But if somebody's driving down the road and they see mobile mechanic ad, they're not really going to be like, oh, okay, well, I should remember that guy for next time.
Yeah.
No, I was in their face on their Facebook feed, and I had constant clients coming in. Unfortunately, I ended up dropping a diesel gas tank on my shoulder and had to stop working for the mechanic side of things. But the happy accident was that I kind of deconstructed everything that I had done, including the verbiage that I used, how I interacted with customers, the expectations that I put in place for them.
Yeah.
And now I've got a system that I can help other business owners put in place. And if they follow the system, they've gone from, like I said, being just a service, just somebody that you're like, oh yeah, that guy doesn't have brakes, to, I want to refer my friend or my family member to somebody that I actually trust, and go back to those days where you can trust your mechanic, you can trust your service repair location.
Yeah,
and that's where I got started.
Okay, really cool. And then so, what kind of businesses do you guys service through your agency? Is it mostly other mechanics, or do you service a wider range of customers?
Well, the system is primarily made for auto shops, mobile mechanics, just because it's kind of built from that system. But at the base of it and the core structure of it is really any service business that wants to get a foothold and be competitive in who they're going against. Because like you're looking at a small shop trying to go up against Midas or Big O Tires or Goodyear. And then you've got other services like maid services that are trying to go against the bigger name maid services, or really anything that's service industry. And that's kind of what I've said out of change, is how they're viewed, and actually get solid footholds for them going against major competitors that could spend $100,000 on an ad campaign.
You know,
they can't, but they've got more rapport and they've got more clients coming in that are solid and regular or constantly referring people.
Yeah. Okay. So let's delve into this really cool system that you've built. And can you break down step by step what this entails, so that we're super clear? Because it sounds really intriguing.
Absolutely. Okay, so you and I both know, and everybody listening know that the moment that you judge a company is usually by the first ad that you see. If it's not intriguing, if it's not something that's not only going to catch your eye but keep your attention, you've lost it. It's done.
Yeah.
They'll just scroll past or, you know, go on to the next thing that they're looking for. The reality is a lot of big name companies and a lot of other advertisers out there tend to overload their clients' information feeds. So when you see something and you're looking for, let's keep it simple, let's say that you're looking for a mechanic and you've got a list of 100 things that they do. By the time you're 4 or 5 things down, you may be like, okay, well, I need to get it done, so I might as well go there. But you're not really looking to engage with it. You're not looking to do anything more than just book an appointment, get on with it, be done.
Yeah.
The ad sets that I put in place are simple, to the point, and not only get customers, you know, engaging with it, but they're wanting to ask questions and be like, okay, well, do you also do this? Because I was recommended this. And it was just, it's a simple thing. It's so easy that I broke it down to where it's, I put in 3 of the major issues in the area. So out here in Arizona, it's hot. So AC system repair, radiator repair, and control arms, because we got a lot of messed up roads out here. 3 main things, and then I put 3 or 4 photos max on my Facebook posts, and just said message for rates or questions. Boom, and it was that simple. So that's the system that I constantly repeated over and over and over, week after week. And was that
on your social media that you were doing that?
I had Demons Auto Facebook page, so I had a business page on it. It's definitely necessary to have a business page for anybody that has a service business. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them are missing the mark because they don't. They think that it's just a Google profile would be okay. And that's true maybe 60% of the time. But people like to interact with Facebook. And if you can get a Facebook referral or anything like that, it's worth its weight in gold.
Yeah.
When it comes down to it, I mean, I would never not have a Facebook page without my business.
When you're putting these ads together, you were putting them across all the different channels. So like on your Facebook and on your Google My Business, is that right?
I typically wouldn't put it on my personal Facebook just because I did like to keep that part separate, other than if somebody asked me, just because I don't want to burn out my friends or family expecting them to like, oh, why don't you do this?
Yeah.
And a lot of times I feel that that's how it is sometimes with Facebook profiles. If you have a business and you keep on getting at them, unless they're your constant customer, it kind of gets like, oh, okay, whatever. And you might get muted or whatever they do.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I like to avoid. So what I was doing at first to kind of get things rolling, because I didn't have a lot of money to start off with mobile mechanic, is I was just going into local groups, buy, sell, and trades, a place called Walmarts, things like that, with the on Facebook groups, and was able to get a good amount of clients that way. And then once I got my first couple of days where I was, you know, making $400 or $500 constantly, I finally said, you know what, I need to put an ad together. And that's when I started, you know, building the second part of the system, where it's, I didn't move more than 25 or 30 miles outside of my area, simply because if I'm going out 50 miles an hour or 50 miles out from where I live, and then we have an issue or I need to go back or anything like that, I'm now overextending myself on time, resources, and you know, it's not going to be a great situation most of the time, because it's like, oh well, I need to go get this part from a store that's 20 miles this way, and they're, you know, 20 miles this way, and then I have an appointment in 30 minutes. It's too much stress. And that's where the second part came in, where I always tell my clients, if they're mobile mechanics or if they're local service businesses, stay local, because it's, yeah, it'll serve you so much better than if you try to extend yourself, you know, and try to be the hero for everybody.
You'll right.
Make a lot of people sad or unhappy.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. Okay. So you just dialed in your message so that you were targeting the most important services that your customers were looking for. And then so you were posting these across different channels. So your Facebook business page, in local groups, and your Google My Business. And then you were making sure that when you were doing ads, so you were doing pay-per-click advertising as well?
Yeah, I was doing Facebook advertising at the time. And to be honest with you, I wasn't even using Google my business for a while.
Okay.
I didn't even know that it was a thing for my business. I know that I had registered it because, like I said, years ago, I had registered it and, you know, did my side of things. And I had it there and I had no reviews. So it wasn't something that kept on popping up on my timeline that somebody had viewed it.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't used it, and I didn't use it for a good year. And then finally I got a call one day, and one of the guys that lives down the street from me, actually, he goes, "Hey, are you the mobile mechanic?" And I was like, "Yeah, I am." I go, "Well, how can I help you?" I go, he goes, "Well, I saw you on Google. You're the number one local." And I was, I kind of, you know, turned my head and was like, "What? What do you mean I'm number one?" He goes, "Yeah, I just looked up a mechanic near me and you're the number one." And I was like, "Okay." And, you know, I did the work for him. And then that night I ended up going on my computer and I looked up, you know, mechanic near me, and Demon's Auto came up number one on an incognito browser, beating out, you know, we had Joe's Auto, Brake Masters, various other big name companies. And I was on top of them because I had more ratings from clients that I'd already worked with that had reviewed me from my Facebook ads to my Google.
Okay.
And it was just amazing because I was like, so this is the true power of having that relationship with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. So you were able to repeat the strategy that worked really well for your mechanic business. And now that's what you do for a living, is create this process for other mechanics and service providers.
Correct.
Okay. And then, so what about it do you think makes it so successful?
It's, I mean, I can't break it down into anything other than it being the honesty that's there. Because like I said, when I put up an ad and let's say a customer responds back with something like, "Hey, well, do you do brake jobs?" "Yeah, absolutely. We do brake, brakes. There's, you know, a $60 charge for the diagnosis, and then that can go towards the repair. But also, if we find that there's anything else in the system that needs to be replaced, that price may change. You know, I give them a price like $180 to do front brakes or rear brakes, let's just say, with
parts. Yeah.
And then if I tell them, "Hey, if there's anything wrong with your system that has caused it to fail, we'll talk about it at that point, and there may be an upcharge." I've created an expectation that they're going to have to pay at least $180 to have the brakes actually replaced,
yeah.
$60 if it doesn't need it. And then if it needs more than just the rotors and pads, then we're going to be talking about how much more it's going to be. So they were ready to pay. That honest upfront thing, instead of going to like, and you know, I started my mechanic side of things going into, or being in a shop where people would come in for a free checkup and free diagnosis or free scan.
Mm-hmm.
And when you hear the word free as a customer, you're automatically thinking, well, you know, even if I have to pay for something to be fixed, it's not going to be that much because you've got like a bar that's down here on how much it's costing you now.
Mm-hmm.
So, well, if it needs to be fixed, it's probably going to be like $30 or $40. When in reality, that fix could be, you know, $200, $300, $400 and up.
Right.
But if I'm giving them a number, like, it's not free. Even me going out to check on you is not free. But, you know, this amount of money is going to help go towards the actual repair once we verify that it needs to be done.
Mm-hmm.
But if there's anything else, it's going to go up to here. And now I've created this kind of like sandwich effect where it's, you know, this is how much we can be at. But if need be to make sure that your car is 100%, it's going to be up here. And
okay.
It was just the communication and the honesty that came forward on through the ads and, you know, this is what we do. And then people having an expectation of this is what's going to happen. And I'm going to trust him because he's told me that this is what's going to happen. He's not coming in and trying to do a free diagnosis. And then all of a sudden, you know, to quote an old adage, my car needs blinker fluid.
Yeah. So, okay. So you're really, so in the follow-up, you're doing a really great job of just managing their expectations. And then, so is that something that you are training all your clients to do as well, as sort of part of the whole process?
Absolutely. Especially with shops, because a lot of service writers come from a sales background, which I do have as well.
Yep.
But most salesmen, we're trained to think that the customer needs to be handled, and they don't. They just need to be talked to like a normal person. So that,
yeah.
that way, you know, even if you need to break things down a little bit for them, if you need to take them out to the car to show them, like, look, this is what happened, and you know, this is A to B. This is how it can be. This is how it could have been. If you need to explain it to them that way, do it. If you have a mechanic that likes to talk and can explain that with you, and your service writer isn't the 100% best at explaining things like that, use your mechanic. You know, build that relationship with them, so that way it's like, look, I want to make sure that you're okay. This is what happened, and you know, have the mechanic talk about it, because now you've not only got the salesman talking, you've got the expert in the shop talking, and that's you know, like I said, that's one of the best things that you can use in your toolkit as a shop owner, is your mechanic's knowledge. I mean, they know everything about the vehicle. Why wouldn't they, you know, let the customer know, like, hey, this is what's going on, and this is what you may be experiencing or might have to experience because, you know, you this part of your car's failed.
Okay.
But so, I definitely do train them on that.
Awesome. And then, so what is the next step?
Okay. So after that, one thing that I always tell my clients is you want to have a continued business. So one thing that you're going to want to do is, because I found that there was so much weight in Google referrals or Google reviews, I tell them, honestly, get either do an oil change for them, or if they need a repair, you know, make sure that you're leveraging something to give to them, you know, to in exchange for an honest Google review. You know, I don't want to buy them and tell them, you know, hey, I'll do your mass airflow sensor for free if you give me a review, because that's a bond. But if you're telling them, hey, if you leave me a Google review, if you do something for me, I'll do something for you, and I'll, you know, discount or do a free oil change for you next time that you need service.
Then okay.
You've leveraged what you can do for them instead of just what you can give them. Which is building value in the work that you do.
Okay, interesting. Awesome. Okay, so you're helping them to get more reviews as well. Is there anything else that you include in this process with your clients?
Oh yeah. Along with that, we also do content creation, video ad creation. So we do a lot of things that they can not have to worry about. They can just focus on running their business side of things, and where we can bring the clients in that are already ready to buy and ready to get service done. Which does take a load off, because then you're not having your service writer scrambling across 20 things on the desk while they have another client in front of them waiting to get an answer out of their car, which adds to the stress and adds to the negative feeling about a workplace. I've seen it happen with a lot of service writers, even me just being a mechanic and seeing it happen to them, because then they get overstressed, they start feeling like their job's not worth it. And then we just, you know, divulge down this track of unhappiness. And then the shop owners hear about it, and they feel stressed out because they don't know what's wrong or anything like that. But the content creation, the ad creation, and having clients come in that are ready to go. And you can even, we even have a system where we can email out to day ahead, you know, this is the work that's coming in, schedule time that they have coming in, and this is what they're looking to get done. This is their name, you know, boom, boom, boom. But getting their email as well, you know, to build an email campaign. That's something that we also do offer, so that way, you know, once a week or once every 2 weeks, you're emailing them out, you know, have you gotten your oil checked? Or, you know, these are local specials for the month, or whatever it is to get them at the top of their mind and let them know that, hey, keep us in your thoughts. If you have any friends or family that have any car issues, you know what we've done for you. So, you know, keep us, let us know, let them know that you're here for that.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So it sounds like the fact that you have that firsthand experience working as a mechanic is just so relatable to your clients. So that must really set you apart from a lot of other service providers.
Absolutely. Like I said, most other ad agencies, and you know, there's not knocking on them at all, but they focus sometimes on the wrong things when it comes down to service industries.
Yeah.
Most service owners don't want to have 100 clients knocking at their door. They'd rather have 5 good ones than those 100 that are just, you know, 50% of them are tire kickers, we call them, and the other 25% are just there for small things. Where if you have 5 good clients that, you know, not only appreciate the work that you put in and see the value in your brand, but are also willing to talk for you and say, oh yeah, you know, Josh took great care of me, you need to call him. You know, your brakes are squeaking, I heard him when you pulled up today, you need to go see him.
Yeah.
that's the reality of things. And a lot of other agencies are just like, oh, we'll get you 100 customers. We'll get you 1,000 customers. We'll do this. We'll drive everybody to you. But that's where I feel that a lot of the bigger name brands have failed, is that they just care about the volume and not the quality of things.
Not the quality,
which is why I broke down what I did and created the system that does take you from just being a service to being a valued community resource. Because if you're a community resource, you're not going anywhere. You know, mm-hmm. Your clients are coming to you constantly. They need your help. You're the guy. You're the person. You're everything that they can they need to get their issues fixed.
Yeah. And so how are you able to get them quality leads as opposed to, you know, just a high volume of leads that aren't high quality?
Well, through various methods. One is we do have a dedicated social media manager that we could put in place to make sure that all messages are getting filtered. So if somebody just goes, oh, well, you guys don't do free this or free that. No, we don't, you know, but we do recommend, you know, this person, or Midas or AutoZone, does a free checkup if you want to get a scan before you come in. Mm-hmm. And it's not waving them off. It's leading them through the steps of, look, we're not going to do it for free for you, but here's some resources that might help. And if you want to go get that scanned and then come back, we're more than happy to help you out.
Yeah. That's a great way to build trust with people.
Yeah. I mean, it's giving them something free, which is what they initially look for. But also, once you find out that it's as bad as we think it is, come back and see us. We'll help you out at that point.
Yeah.
We can do that. We've gotten things where we can do AI chatbots that make sure that we meet out that kind of stuff as well. And we can have things plugged in so that way if they need help, you know, oh, if you go to your local AutoZone, if you can get the car towed or whatever. But it's a lot of personal integration on it, just because you need to be able to be on top of it and know who is qualified as a good lead and who's just kicking tires and trying to get you to beat Midas's or Big O Tires price on things. But you know, if you've done your job right and you've communicated with them after that first contact, they shouldn't be really worried about price. They should be more like, oh, I'm getting a great deal no matter what you're saying, because you've built that value in your brand. And if you've done everything right and gotten the reviews and everything, they're going to see that little 5-star or 4-star even on their ads and be like, okay, well, you know, other people trust them, so I can start trusting them from here.
Yeah. Yeah. So cool. So how has implemented this entire process with your clients transformed your agency?
Well, it's made a lot more solid foothold locally. We are looking to expand out because we're, you know, obviously we can help out a lot more shops and a lot more services, regardless of what they do, you know, carpet cleaners or tile cleaners or roofers, anything like that.
Yeah.
You know, we're looking to change the industry as a whole. I don't want to just change my area, you know, fine. Mm-hmm. We can make Arizona, you know, be one of those places where the smaller shops have more power than the bigger shops. But I want to make it so that way everybody can have a piece of the pie, because that way everybody eats. If I can teach more business owners what I do and, you know, do the one-on-one coachings with them and their service writers or whatever I have to do, I don't mind doing that. And it's something that'll make me feel better, because all of a sudden we've created this, this world again, where, you know, you're trusting the person that works on your stuff instead of being like, oh yeah, well, he works on my car, but I don't know how well I trust him, or he does my roof, but he did my roof, but I don't know if I would recommend him to somebody. Mm-hmm. You know, as long as they follow the steps and stay honest with not only who they are, but what they do, it does create a trust bubble, and it's invaluable.
That's really interesting. And then, so it's a pretty comprehensive service that you're offering. So do you start off with like a foot in the door offer with your clients and then build out from there? How does that look?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously we offer the done for you approach, which is, like I said, I train your service writers. I get people in your door. I build the content out for you. I do everything that it takes to get your business rolling more with leads. Mm-hmm. And, that's obviously, you know, the easiest one for any service business, because you don't have to worry about it. Just tell me what your goal is, like budget-wise or not budget-wise, but what your revenue goal is, and I'll help you get there. You know, that's the easiest way for them because they don't have to stress about it. They don't have to worry about it. I ask them for certain content things, like if it's an industry that I'm not well versed in, mm-hmm. which is very few, but if it's like, I need photos of this, or I need work that you've done, I need this, so I can post it up, people can see the actual you, mm-hmm. then yeah, there's some kind of involvement. But for people that are just want to get their foot in the door and kind of want to see what I can do on certain things, I've got a base package where I just offer content. And that's like, that's photos, advertisements, things like that. Mm-hmm. I don't post it. It's on their ad revenue and or their ad spend, and they handle all the postings. That one's very, very basic, and you know, it's more of a, this is what our posts can do and our verbiage and our copywriting can do. You know, and then that takes you to the next step, which is I'll do your ads. I'll do your Facebook ads, your Instagram ads, time into Google, and start getting more people to notice your main brand and everything, and post it across even TikTok, which is blown up immensely. I mean, yes. I've seen people post up car repairs on there, and they've got, you know, 1 million views, 2 million views, and things like that. So it's catching people's eye. It's getting your name out there.
And TikTok translating into sales as well?
It is, because if you even if you spend $20 on it, you get about 4,000 impressions on people, which is a crazy amount of return. Because I mean, for, not talking down on Facebook, if you spend $20, you're looking at getting maybe in front of 300-400 people. Mm-hmm. So getting in front of 4,000, even if your return, even if your rate of somebody clicking that shop now or book now button is 1%, that means you've still got, you know, 40 people that are coming to look for information or coming to do something. Yeah. So 1% ain't bad in a sea of 4,000.
Interesting.
But that's one thing. That's the next step up. And then we've got the kind of like a hybrid model where it's like, I'll talk with the business owner and tell them what they have to do. This is probably one of the most effective ones because it doesn't take power away from the business owner. They understand, if they can understand the training and understand what kind of mindset they have to be in to teach their service riders and the mechanics, like, hey, I need you doing this for the business, and I need you to do it because I'm making sure that we keep on getting new clients and keep on retaining clients that we have now. Mm-hmm. This is what needs to be done. If they can do that for themselves, and then, you know, also handle their ads and everything like that. But it's like a weekly coaching call. It's a weekly, hey, how you doing, Steve? Let's, you know, how's the week been? What have you felt? You know, how's everything been in business? Let's talk about what we can do to take you to the next step, because it's always going to be a next step. What's the next step for you, Steve? What's the next step? What's the next step?
Yeah.
We do have various levels of offering of how much we can help a business.
So you'll put together like a marketing plan for them, and then you'll also offer that consulting role as well.
Absolutely. And it's built for every different business. So we don't have a set price for everything that we do, like a lot of agencies. It's like, you know, obviously a roofer is going to need a different budget than somebody that's working on 10 cars a day. Mm-hmm. So, you know, depending on what they need and what results they need to get out of it is what we built our plans out.
Okay. Very cool. Well, yeah, that's been so interesting. Thank you so much for sharing that. So where do you see Fiero social media and marketing in 5 years' time?
Oh, 5 years' time? Well, if I've done my job right, we'd be in every state probably. Shoot. If I've done everything right, I'm looking probably at about multiple agencies where they've adopted my program and become kind of like affiliated with Fiero Marketing. And I've trained, you know, 500 maybe agents where I can have them in different areas of the country and doing what I do. Because honestly, you made me kind of have a flashback, because I used to work for DirecTV, and I remember having a team or being on a team, and I was the first one there to sell anything, first one to sell 5, 8, 12, and then 15 systems in a day. And I told them, you know, I can do this for you all day long. I can sell 12 to 15 a day, no problem. Mm-hmm. Or you can give me a team and we can have 10 of you doing the same thing. And it was never valued. So now as a business owner, I could see that, yeah, I can do this, or I can have, you know, 10, 20, 30 people doing the same thing that I'm doing. exactly the way that I built it, and we're helping out so many more people.
Yeah.
We're putting value in their back in their lives, and maybe revitalizing communities and getting people to know each other again, which would be amazing. But yeah, I mean, goals, I'd love to have a team of 50, you know, 50 to 100 people doing the same thing that I do.
So cool.
But I dream big. So
yeah, you got to. That's awesome. I love that. Well, we're getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what's a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
As childish as it may sound, and a lot of people have seen the movie, Ender's Game. I don't know if you've ever heard of that.
Okay. Book. No, I haven't.
So it's about a kid that basically is super smart and has to save the humanity from a race called the Buggers or Formics. And it's just like human versus bugs, human versus aliens kind of thing. The reason why it stuck out to me so much is because his mentality is, when he gets in trouble or gets in his face or something like that, he doesn't want to win a battle. He wants to win the war. So his striking blows are always ending blows. It's never like I'm gonna you know, damage them to make them back off. It's this fight is over. I'm done with it, and that's it. But it's definitely been a changer in mindset, because whenever anything happens, I don't want to have to keep on having the same problem over and over. So
yeah,
if I encounter an issue, I want to get it out of the way and completely win the war on that one to move on to whatever comes next.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. And then what does your morning routine look like?
Morning routine is wake up with the kids. I got 3 kids, 2 girls and a boy. Wake up, change my son, let him loose, start working on breakfast, try to wake myself up probably around 8:30. And then once everybody's got breakfast in front of them, I'm on the computer trying to build new content, trying to, you know, get my clients' things settled probably around 9:30, 10. They've already kind of got it in their calendar. That's about how it works. It's kind of how I've trained my brain through mechanic work, just because 8 o'clock, you really didn't start getting anything done until like 10, 10:30. I think I need to change it. I'm pretty sure I need to be waking up earlier. It's just with the 3 kids and everything, it doesn't happen very often. Mom and dad have our downtime later in the afternoon, so we kind of let that go until midnight or 1.
Yeah, for sure. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
Yeah, actually, Russell Brunson. His mindset is out of this world, let me tell you. He's the one that started ClickFunnels. The guy's a great guy. I've gotten to talk with him a few times, and it's just the mindset of wanting to help others is in the same level as what I think of. So that's why I think I click so well with him.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to just do this for myself. Like, yeah, I can be an ad agency just like everybody else and, you know, get people in their door. But the reality is, if I'm not making their life any better, then how am I bettering my vibration, my spiritual self to help everybody else?
Cool. I love that. That's awesome. And then what's your favorite online tool?
That's going to be videos. It's made my life so much easier. Videos is video creation platform. They have a one-time pay and then a monthly recurring for upgraded plans where you can get more videos every week. But basically what it does is allows you to grab logos and grab graphics or photos of your product or anything like that, and just immediately it creates it within a few minutes. And then you can grab it, type in whatever you want. If there's text areas, type in whatever you want, transfer it over. I mean, you can put that on TikTok, you can put it on your Facebook feed, you can run it in an ad, and it flows. You get it all high definition and bright colors. You can change the color schemes of everything. And I mean, honestly, it's probably one of the cheapest but best tools I've ever put in my agency toolkit.
Interesting. Is it kind of like Canva but for video?
Yeah, actually, it really is, because you can do just about anything you want with it. They've got thousands of templates, and I mean, there's no way everybody has seen every single one of them. I haven't even seen through them, and I've dug through that thing for hours.
Oh, very cool. Well, that's awesome. And then last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I mean, I wish I had known that value had more weight than how much work I can do, because that would have saved me a lot of time. I mean, obviously, if I knew everything then that I know now, I'd be in a completely different position now for this podcast. We probably would have done this a while ago. but if I had known the actual weight of value in a person's life, even down to how much time you can save them and how they see that as value, then I think my business would already be double or triple what it is now. Because it's I've hit a couple of speed bumps where it's like, okay, well, we're going to do volume, but you know, volume doesn't equal value to a lot of people.
Okay.
That's true.
Yeah. That's awesome. So thank you so much for joining us. It's been really interesting learning about your story and the awesome services that you're offering mechanics throughout the area. So I really appreciate you joining me.
Well, thank you again for having me. I do appreciate being here and the opportunity to speak with somebody. And hopefully, you know, somebody hears this and it resonates with them. And if they have any questions, they can, of course, reach out.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.